Hi, this is Tony Robbins. Listen, I am very, very, I wouldn't say excited because I always say that, but I am excited. I live in an excited state. But I think more importantly, I really have a sense of mission tonight in talking with you about what I title the ultimate resource. What would the ultimate resource be? I hope I got your curiosity there. Get things off to a good start. But really, what is it that we use when we find ourselves at the end of our rope? When it seems like all our mortal abilities and skills and all our time, everything we've ever learned really isn't helping us to turn things around? What is it that we use when we seem to have gone way beyond our capabilities to really make our life work? We use that one unique thing that the human spirit can employ, faith. I think it's really important for us to realize this fundamental that we hear so much about, we've talked so much about it, that most of us take for granted its real power. And I'd like to spend some time with you tonight or this morning or this afternoon, whenever you're listening to me, to really have you and I focus on just how powerful this tool is and how we can use this to transform any experience of our life into one of greater meaning, greater power, and greater opportunity. First of all, before we even talk about what it is, let's start with what we think it is and how important it is. How important do you think faith really is to your ultimate success in life, to your survival in life? I personally believe that faith is the foundational requirement for all human progress. It's the precursor to all achievement. In fact, without faith, you couldn't walk across the street. You certainly couldn't fall in love and stay there and decide to do something like marriage or have children, because, oh my gosh, what if it didn't work out? You know, what if you got divorced? And by the way, some of you ask those questions and don't have a lot of faith, and that's why you don't stay married. Little clue. What we've got to do is work together to be able to employ faith, to really organize our faith so it gives us a sense of certainty and allows us to be able to take action even when we're fearful. That's really the power of faith. It's the ability to move us forward. Listen, without it, you couldn't start a business. You couldn't go out and try out a new job. You couldn't drive down the street. I thought about it as I was driving over here to the studio. I go down a winding highway through the mountains, and all that separates me from the people coming from the other direction is a little yellow line. And you know what? To be able to drive down that highway, you got to have faith. To leave your home, you got to have faith. After all, you could get hit by a truck or a car. So if you're looking for evidence to not take action, if you're looking for reasons to not change your life, to not improve, to stay where you are, there are plenty. Especially living in a post-911 environment, right? I mean, ever since September 11th, what happens? Everybody quotes that as the reason why they can't do something. Now, don't get me wrong. I was in Hawaii doing a program for people from 80 nations when this event happened. And interestingly enough, we had over 500 New Yorkers. We had more than 60 people who either worked in the World Trade Center buildings or owned businesses there or lost family or friends. As you might imagine, they were hysterical. Some people lost 30 or 40 family members or business associates. It was brutal. But I got to tell you something. As bad and as challenging as that is, we can't be selective in our feelings of compassion or our feelings of hurt or our commitment to make changes in our society. Hopefully we find faith within ourselves to find a deeper meaning than just tragedy. That somehow because of this pain, great things will change within humanity. Great things certainly have changed within Americans. There's been a very different mindset, at least for a short period of time. Whether we'll maintain it is up to us. A coming together, a caring for one another, a looking at our values and saying, what really is most important in my life today? Maybe it isn't just making $1 billion. Maybe having more time with my son or daughter. Maybe really understanding what my husband or wife is really feeling. Maybe my relationship with God is even more important than I thought. See, tragedy is only a tragedy if we do nothing with it. Faith can convert tragedy into opportunity for deepening of the human spirit, deepening of relationships, the deepening of our spiritual lessons. There are no problems. There are only spiritual lessons if we have faith. And if you can find a lesson, if you can find that deeper meaning, everything in your life opens up. And somehow you say, I'd never want to wish that upon anyone. I'd never want to go through that situation I went through again. But thank God I did. Because nothing else would have broken my pattern. Nothing else would have gotten me to what's really true and real. See, faith, ultimate faith, is not just that we can get through it. Faith is that there's a deeper meaning in it. In fact, this month's Power Talk book summary is about a man who used that faith like few human beings ever have. If you can only imagine being put in a position where for no reason, talk about injustice, someone takes your family and you just because of your religious beliefs, puts you on a train to Auschwitz, and you lose all of your family members. Some starve, some are beaten to death, some are burned in the oven. And somehow through it all, as you look around at what seems like an experience that is so beyond inhuman, not an instantaneous death, but a slow wilting away where you see walking death surrounding you, and somehow in the midst of that, finding a resource inside yourself that would cause you to have the will to live when there is nothing inside you that wants to. That's faith. That's the power to create a compelling future. That's the power to believe there's a meaning even in your pain or the pain of those you love, which frankly is sometimes harder than your own because you feel like there's nothing you can do except care, except love. The opportunity to use this resource is not an opportunity. It's mandatory. It's what it takes to get across the street. It's what it takes to beat a terrorist. Because a terrorist's goal is fear. And if they can get you to be in terror, they can get you to destroy your life. And that is their goal. I tell people, just like President Bush said, get on an airplane. People say, oh, yes, but it's so dangerous. What if something happens? Think about it. So much of our lives is sitting on the shelf because we don't have faith. We don't have faith to stop doing what we're doing, even though we don't love it, and step into something new. What if it doesn't work? What if we fail? What if you succeed? What if you find the way? What if you commit it? What if you have enough certainty inside yourself that you'll find the resources? If it doesn't work, you'll change your approach. A lack of faith is why so many people are trapped in a relationship where they are miserable, because they don't have faith in themselves that they'll ever be able to find the person they really love. They don't have faith in their children that they'll understand that they've got to do something that supports them and the family long term, that to live in unhappiness is not the way to live for any human being. They don't have faith in their partner's ability to grow or expand. See, a lack of faith keeps people in jobs, in environments. A lack of faith causes people to never find out what their children are capable of. A lack of faith is what causes us to believe that when we have problems, we're being punished instead of being offered spiritual lessons that unless we embrace, they'll just come to us again. Faith is the key that opens the door. And if, as you'll read in Man's Search for Meaning, if a Viktor Frankl can find meaning in that level of pain, come back to live to be 90 years old and inspire millions of people around the earth to make sure that that situation would never happen again, what could you do with your pain if you just had some faith? And what could you do with your opportunities that you don't even realize are there because your faith is not active enough? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking negatively. You may have the most enormous faith of anyone around you, but could you have more? You know the answer. And this is one of those areas of life. People say, can you ever be rich enough, thin enough, healthy enough? I'd change it. Could you ever have enough faith? You know, every religious book on the planet talks about this power. And if there's any time in our history we need it, it is now. And if there's any time in your personal history you need it, it is now because you picked up this tape. Because my faith is, my belief is, there are no mistakes. There's a reason you picked up this tape or CD right now. Everything happens for a reason and a purpose, and it serves you if you let it. If you embrace it. If you listen to me now. Better yet, listen to you. It's just your voice coming through my words. You picked me. You picked this moment. I didn't. So use it. What would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? What would you do if you weren't so worried about whether it would work out? What would you do if you weren't so worried about what other people think? No leader can make a decision if they ever sit down and try to please everybody. It's impossible. Leadership requires you do what is unpopular initially. Then later on, you become the leader. Everybody claps or applauds. And the minute you make a mistake, they'll be on you. Don't forget that, too. That comes with the territory. But I'd rather live that way, where you make mistakes and you learn and you're fully alive, than to never know who you are, what you're capable of, because you didn't take the step. So in this tape, we're going to talk about how to take that step, whether it's turning around the pain and letting go of it by finding that meaning, or whether it's taking the steps to move yourself forward, because I don't know what season you're in right now. I don't know if you're in the midst of winter where it seems so dark and, you know, it seems like there's no future. I remember when I first started talking about the subject, I did a tape on this back in 1990. We're in the middle of a recession. 209 banks had gone under. You know, everybody was saying the savings and loan crisis where the economy's going through the floor. Saddam Hussein, right? Everybody's freaked out about it. The price of oil had increased 50%. You know, we're in total recession. The Dow was at about 3,000. And amidst this, I'm trying to walk around and say to people, guess what? I know it looks like winter, but spring is around the way. It's always there. I mean, if you were God, wouldn't you put spring right after winter? We got to get ready for spring. We got to plant some seeds. There's opportunity here. Listen, During the Depression, more people got rich than any other time. If you're just economically oriented, look at the opportunity. Yes, of course, all these companies look like they're losing money. What an opportunity. We're about to grow. And I kept looking for other resources. That's how I came across Harry Dent, by the way. Harry Dent wrote a book called The Great Boom Ahead. Remember him? He wrote this book and it says, guess what? I know it looks horrible, but not based on just hope and a dream, based upon the size of this population of people called baby boomers and the stage they are in life, we're going to have the biggest boom in history. The Dow's going to go from 3,000, 3,500 to 8,500 by the year 2000. He said, that's conservative. I'm telling you, 10,000 is more realistic. Everybody thought he was an idiot, and I did a Power Talk interview with him, and people said, oh, yeah. And look what happened. See, whenever you think it's the worst it can be, you're wrong. It can always be worse. So don't be saying that. And secondly, whenever you think it's never going to change, you're wrong. It's going to get better. If you do nothing else, it's going to get better. I remember one of the first meetings I had with President Clinton, and I don't talk about the details of anything I do with any of my clients unless they give me permission. But I can just tell you one core thing because it was shared publicly. You know, he was going through a very tough time at that point of his administration. It was the very, very beginning of the administration, not the tough times he had later. But I said to him, I said, listen, sir, if you do nothing, it's going to get better if you keep doing what you're doing. Because the story's going to get old. Now, you can do a lot to improve that. You don't have to wait for it to get better, but everything is seasonal. All you need is a little faith. Don't let this thing get you down. This process is part of humanity. It is a resource you're born with. You're not born with beliefs. Beliefs you learn. Faith you're born with. It's a resource of all human beings. It's like a muscle. The only thing that matters is how much are you going to use it. So you can focus on the present and think the present is your future. Or you can create the future and employ your faith and start acting on it. That's what this session is about. So what's the one thing that keeps you from using your faith? The opposite, fear. What is fear? It's this illusion. See, think about it. Faith and fear, they're both imagination unleashed. One is just imagination unleashed about the worst possibility, and the other is imagination unleashed about the best possibility. So you can argue about facts all day long. Oh, no, it's so dangerous to get on a plane. But here's reality. When you're in fear, anything's a fact to you. You know, anything that can lead to your sense of certainty, you shouldn't take a chance, is a fact to you. But fear, F-E-A-R, we all know the old acronym for that. False evidence appears real. And see, you can't live that way. It's like people get on an airplane. It's like I mentioned, you know, after 9-1-1, people say, oh, I can't get on a plane. I can't travel. Oh, great. Then reward the terrorists and destroy your life so they get exactly what they want. And President Bush asked everyone, get on a plane, use these services. Here's the reality. You have a 1 and 1.4 million chance of being hit by lightning. Now, 1 and 1.4 million. How often do you see on the news? Yep, another guy was hit by lightning today. It just doesn't happen. You have a 1 in 10 million chance of being killed in an airplane accident. Of any sort, not just terrorist, any sort whatsoever. See, we don't need facts when we see something emotional. As bad as it was, and as big a tragedy as it was, as I've already stated in New York, every single day, 3,500 people die of cancer and heart disease in this country. Every single day. Imagine every single day, two World Trade Centers being taken down. Every single day. And those are mothers who lost their sons or daughters, those are fathers, those are brothers, those are sisters. The tragedy is not any smaller. The pain is not any less. So we can't have selective emotion, and we can't have selective focus, or we'll always be in fear. Listen, if you want to experience all the pain of humanity, if we sit down and think of all the people that have died or are dying by abuse in other countries, not only our own, the injustices that are happening, the people put to death for political reasons, the people that are starving to death, living in a world where the majority does not have our resources, nothing even close. If you want to absorb all of humanity's pain, then all we have to do is roll into a ball, basically, and die. Because that pain is there. But if you have faith, you're able to see another vision of life. You have to also absorb all of humanity's love, all of humanity's joy, all of humanity's creation, all of humanity's goodness. You know, in the moment I snap my fingers, 5 people die. But in that same moment in this country, 10 are born. See, right now a child's being born. And that child has a future if we all have enough faith. Faith enough to act upon, faith enough to maximize our resources, faith enough to care more deeply, faith enough to do the things that are necessary to take the challenges that are there, that have always been there with humanity. They just change the structure and the name of who it is and how it's applied. And to turn those, bring them in and transform that into energy. Because all problems are is energy. All fear is energy. But when you convert it into the force called fear, now you have something that battles your faith. Which is stronger, your fear or your faith? So in this session, I'm going to give you some historic examples. Some may seem corny, but they're real. And the reason I give you historic examples is the best way to get rid of your fear is to step out of it and see that the fear is always based on the illusion of the moment. That if you look back on the things you were most afraid of in your life, weren't there things you were scared to death of, and you look back on it now and go, God, it was so silly. Well, then you know what? A lot of people say, someday we'll look back and laugh about this. Why wait? As you listen to the rest of this session, I want you to think about, historically, the corny examples. They're not corny because they're real, of how individuals, people like ourselves, have turned things around. But it all starts with turning around fear and making faith the basis of your life. So it's not just a thought, but it's a way of breathing, of moving, it's a way of acting. It's a sense of certainty that begins to animate all of your interactions. And you can do that right now. All you have to do is decide. You say, don't just give me the steps. Well, I'll tell you why I'm talking to you about this, because you know, you never know what's going to trigger you. You know, there are two things we need in life to succeed: philosophy and strategy. In my life, you know, and growing up, I always looked at people and I thought, philosophy, poo-pooed that stuff. Who cares about philosophy? I'm into people that take action. I want results. I want strategy. But you know what? A lot of times you got great strategy, but you don't know why you're doing it. And then you find out you've succeeded and there's no meaning to your life. You get to the top of the ladder. You got everything you think you ever wanted in your life and there's no juice. And that lack of juice comes because you didn't have something guiding it all. You didn't have a larger meaning. Remember, ultimately, faith helps us find a meaning in anything, especially those things that we don't understand. So the reason I'm talking to you about faith, not just saying, here are three steps to increasing your faith. I could have done that in 2 seconds, couldn't I? Is because I'm hoping as you listen to this tape that one phrase could trigger you. And I don't know what it is. It may not be one of the steps. It may be just thinking about your own relationship as I'm trying to plant that seed with you. Or about the faith you need to have in your children. Now, I don't mean blind faith. You know, I believe in the idea that as you're working at things, you've got to measure things. You've got to be able to see things as they are, as we're going to talk about here. But I also believe you don't want to see things worse than they are. So this process that I'm talking about requires both an understanding, an emotion, and also some action. Another way of thinking about it is that if you know of any great success story, and you wanted to find the one single common denominator. I don't care if it's, you know, who was the one name you remember if you went back several decades. If I said you went back to the 80s and you had to think in the 80s of one businessman that stuck out of your mind in the United States, top businessman who turned a big company around, what's the name that comes up almost always? Lee Iacocca. It's been 20, 25 years more than that, 30 years since that time. How long has it been? Feels like 30 years anyway. Bottom line, it's been a long time. And think about it. What did Lee do? He took a company that was going completely bankrupt, that no one had any what in? Faith. In fact, not only did they have any faith, they had certainty it was going to go under. And the whole economy could be affected by it, and Congress wasn't going to support it. And what did he bring to that company? Leadership. What's the first quality of leadership? Faith. If you consider yourself a leader, you are not a leader. If you cannot produce certainty for no good reason except you've decided it, and you've created a vision that you can back up within your emotions. Because see, belief, anybody can get. Belief means you got reasons to believe. Faith is there's no reason. You've just decided it, and now you're going to make it happen because you know it serves a higher purpose, not just yourself. That even if it meets your needs, it's helping other people as well at some level. And sure enough, Lee showed up. He went over, took the same resources, the same exact resources that were always there, but he installed a different emotion. He transformed that organization. He got them to believe that Chrysler not only could succeed, but it could dominate and become number one again. I mean, that was a big jump. And the only way he got them to do that is a really important lesson in faith. You can't give it if you don't have it. You sure as heck can't give somebody else certainty when you don't have it inside yourself. You can't make somebody else feel what you're not feeling. At least you can't sustain it. You might be able to fake it for a little bit and have stimulate somebody for the moment, but you can't sustain it. You know, in 1981, no one in a million years would have thought Chrysler would be associated with Mercedes-Benz. I mean, come on. But see what happens to us? We all think the present is the future. Instead of thinking the next moment, the action we take in this next moment is going to shape the future. And if you're a parent, you can't tell your children about faith if you're not embodying that sense of certainty about the future. If you're telling your kids, oh, don't worry, son or daughter, about that 911 thing. Hey, listen, you can tell them things like this can happen and probably will happen again in the future. But you know what? We're going to find a way to use whatever life brings us. That's our greatest strength, the power to utilize whatever life feeds you. That's faith. The power of utilization is strength. It's power. And Lee Iacocca went and used all the same resources. He got the government to support him, and he turned the thing around. He did all with faith. I don't care who it is. The people, like, you know, whether you like him or not, you know, whenever you become that successful, many people don't like it. But if you look at a guy like Bill Gates, total faith. He was at Harvard, and he was failing. He wasn't succeeding. He was failing. And he read about this little thing called the new personal computer. And he found out about this little company, and he called him up and said, I've got software to make that happen. He didn't have any software at all. He didn't even have a manual how to run the thing. He just showed up there and had absolute faith that somehow he'd figure out the way once he was there. Think about it. He didn't still have what he needed until he found out about these guys that had this thing called MS-DOS. He didn't create it. He bought it for $50,000. Can you imagine $50,000? I mean, God only knows how many hundreds of millions from it. This man has always stepped into the future first, so he's been rewarded disproportionately to the rest of humanity. He's had a vision. He has had faith. He's followed on it. You don't have to like him, but you can certainly respect the results he's produced. I mean, there is no such thing as a person that succeeds without faith. You couldn't get up and walk without it. You can't drive down the street, as we've already said, without it. It is the basis of it all. And it is certainly the basis of leadership. What did Gandhi ask his countrymen to have? Faith against all odds, when all the evidence said it was impossible and he changed the world. Martin Luther King had a faith that's so extraordinary that it changed our culture for the better. Anyone who's going to succeed must employ this level of faith. So what about you? What do you have faith in? What are you certain about? Maybe before we go any further, we should start by you just making a quick list of what are you certain about in your life. I know there's plenty of things you're uncertain about. Before we go any further, what are you certain about in your life? You might say, well, I'm pretty sure my husband loves me. No, that's not a good one. That's not certain. I'm pretty sure my wife will stick by me during tough times, right? One of the greatest gifts you can have in your life is to know what you're certain about and to not question it. Now, don't get me wrong. There are certain things that need to be questioned. Some things have to be evaluated. Some business relationships, some intimate relationships, you know, some opportunities you're taking advantage of may not be the right thing for you right now. But I want to know first, what are you certain about? So I'd like you to stop this session right now, just for a second. I want you to write down 12 things you're certain about. At least 10 before you turn it back on. Now, don't cheat. Go. Go, go, go. Turn it off. Come on. Write down 10. Now, if you're driving in your car, well, turn off the CD or turn off the audio tape and think of the 10 right now, things you're most certain about. And think about how it makes you feel to be so certain those things are true. They may be things you're certain about in terms of your health, or it might be things about your family, or it might be things about your ability to succeed in spite of problems. It might be about how you've always found a way to turn things around in the past in spite of challenge, and that you know you'll find the way because you always do. Is it a belief that you're guided? Is it that, you know, God is guiding your life? I don't know. What is what do you have faith in? Is it faith in your ability to break through? Is it faith that our country is strong? I don't know. I don't know. It's not my faith. It's yours. Turn off the CD. Turn off the audio. Go ahead. Come on. Are you still there? You're not supposed to be there. You're supposed to turn it off. Come on. If you're in your car, you can still turn it off and think of this. Pay attention to the traffic, too. I have faith in you. You can do both simultaneously. Go ahead. Okay. Now, when you think about these things you're certain about, that you have absolute faith in, when you have absolute faith, how does that feel in your body? Do you breathe differently when you're certain than when you're fearful? By the way, when you're fearful and you tighten up, does that give you access to all of your creativity, your insight, your way of looking at things, your way of maximizing resources? Of course not. But when you're in faith, when you're in a state of certainty, it's amazing. Have you ever been on a roll where it's like you don't even have to think, it just ideas come out of you, or you're playing a sport and it just boom, it happens? Those are moments of certainty. Those are moments of faith. You don't call it that, but you're in state where you're trusting. Absolute trust with certainty is faith. It's all it is. And we can generate it in our bodies, because faith or certainty is nothing but a way of breathing, a way of moving, a way of speaking. If you say, you know, I really believe we can do this, guys. We can do it. Let's just turn around. Yep, we can do it. I got news for you. You're not going to inspire anybody else because you don't have certainty. But if you say, listen, I don't care what you believe. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to produce the result. Anyone who wants to come with me, step through this door. Anybody doesn't want, stay here, because I can't afford the dead weight. This might not be a gentle approach to inspiring people, but I guarantee you're going to, at least everyone's going to know where you stand. I'm not saying it's the best way. I'm just saying whatever your way of expressing certainty is, you got to do it your way. And you got to do it consistently, because the more you express your faith, the stronger it gets. That's the law of use. You don't use it, you what? Lose it. It's like any other muscle. And most people have not used their faith. They want absolute certainty. It's like, why don't people make decisions? Because decisions that are of any value require faith. See, everybody wants to make the right decision, as if we ever know for sure. On a tough decision, you never know. That's what executives are paid for. Leaders are paid to make tough decisions, because many of the decisions they're going to make are going to be wrong. And then they got to have somebody that everybody can blame and point to. But better yet, a real leader will see it's wrong and they'll make a new decision. They'll just change their approach. And if that doesn't work, they'll make a new one until they get there. They're not worried about being right. They're worried about getting the results. They're worried about doing what's right instead of being right. And the only way you can do what's right is take in all the best information you have, decide, and act. And once you take action, you'll learn whether it's working or not. If it's not, if you have faith, you don't beat yourself up. You say, okay, we needed that to learn. What did we learn? How can we use that to make a better decision? The power of decision is the power of life. But you'll never make those tough decisions if you have to wait till you have absolute certainty that it's all going to work out. Forget it. There's nothing like that. Faith is freedom. Faith is freedom. It frees you from having to be in a position where you have to know it all, be it all, and be absolutely certain based on facts and figures and everything being aligned. It frees you to act. It frees you to create. It frees you to investigate. It frees you to play, to enjoy. It frees you to innovate. It frees you to discover who you are and what you're capable of. So if you want to build on your certainty, start with it. See, most people say, all right, now I got to get strong about this. Don't start with things you're not strong with. Start with what you are strong with. Write all those things you're strong about now. What are some things you're not so certain about, but you need to be certain? Not you want to be certain. Yeah, I know you want to be certain about things, and maybe it's not good to be certain. What are some things, in order for you to take action today, you got to get certain about it. And whether you like it or not, you can't take action without it, like driving the car down the street. I want you to write down just 5 things now. Yes, I'm going to have you take some action again. 5 things right now that if you had more faith, it would change your life. In fact, not just if you had more faith, what are 5 things you must have more faith in order for your life to work? You must invest more certainty. Because by the way, you get to do this. Remember, what's the difference between faith and fear? They're both nothing but imagination. You don't really know what's going to happen in the future. It's all made up. It's imagination run wild when it's fear. It's imagination directed when it's faith. And directing imagination is how all human progress is created. I don't care if it's science, where someone imagines that we aren't the center of the universe, that maybe the sun is the thing we're revolving around. Or it's someone who looks at a clock and starts thinking about the speed of light by the name of Einstein. Imagination. Imagination is much more powerful than knowledge when it's directed. Imagination is much more powerful than knowledge when it's undirected, because that's what fear is. So let's get you out of your fear, and just very quickly right now, I want you to write down, what are 5 things you need to have more faith in for your life to work? And by the way, what are 2 things you've had too much faith in? What are 2 things that you've been believing about yourself or about other people with so much certainty, even though there's nothing to really back it up? It's just your fear, right? Show me the allegiance to 2 things that you need to break the allegiance with. You gotta say, I gotta stop buying into this. I gotta stop reinforcing this thought because it's keeping me from acting. So what are 5 things you must have more faith in? Then you're committed to having more certainty in now, not because you got evidence, because you've decided to. And by the way, when you decide to have faith in something, you'll find evidence. You'll find things to back up why you should believe in it, why you should take action, why you should be certain it'll work. You just have to make the mental jump. You have to make that leap of faith. Isn't that what they call it? So what are 5 things you need to have more faith in, you must have more faith in for your life to work? People, situations, yourself, a belief system, an action item, whatever it is. And what are 2 things you've been believing in for the worse, you've been having fear about, that you need to break the allegiance of certainty that it's going to be so bad about? If that's confusing, make up whatever the heck it is you think I just said to do. If you're in the car, think of 5 things you need to have more faith in, 2 things you've been believing in too much that don't serve you and don't support you, that you're going to cut the line of support from and free yourself from. Go. Okay, I hope you took the time to do that. If you didn't, well, you know what? I have faith in you. I know you did it. I trust in you. You wouldn't come this far, listen to me, and do nothing, would you? That wouldn't serve you. I know in the deepest part of your soul, if that was true, you're going to rewind this little part of the CD or cassette right now. I don't even have to tell you to do it. Right? Okay. Moving right on. So, how do we take these things that we have faith in and make them stronger? Well, once you decide to be certain about something, as I've already said, it's amazing how resources move to support you. So often when I explain to people the power of goal setting, I explain the idea of whenever you buy a car and outfits, the metaphor I often use. Have you ever noticed how you suddenly see that car outfit everywhere? It's because there's a part of your brain that once it understands you mean it, this is an important aspect of your life, the reticular activating system, the part of your brain that notices everything, starts getting you to consciously notice the things that relate to your goal. Well, the same thing is true with faith. As soon as you decide, I'm going to believe in this, I don't have to have reasons, I've just decided to do this, there is a power that gets unleashed inside of you. Now, from a practical perspective, you might say, okay, well, that's wonderful, Tony, but there are real obstacles. Am I just going to have blind faith? No, you do everything you can possibly do. You look at things in three ways I'm going to describe to you here in a moment. And as you look at these three elements, you see how things really are, you figure out the strategy of how to turn it around, and then you operate with that faith. And while you have faith that you're going to get the outcome, you stay alert to anything that can help you change your approach to still get that result. You don't have to have ultimate faith that one tactic, one approach is going to work. You can have faith that you're running east looking for a sunset. I don't care how much faith you have, it's not going to work. So that's why you got to have faith that you'll find the sunset, that the tactics you're using, you pay attention to. Does that make sense? Well, then let's take a look at what are three elements that you got to have to expand your faith to use it. What are three belief systems you have to have? You know, as I mentioned, when the incident of the terrorist bombings happened in New York and in Washington, D.C., I was in Hawaii. And with all these people there who'd lost loved ones, you can only imagine what the state of that room was. And we had people there from 80 different countries. We were translating five languages simultaneously for the whole week. People there for a week were all trapped on the island. They couldn't leave to be with their loved ones. We're in the middle of a seminar, and ironically, the day was on emotional mastery. And I had to figure out what I was going to do with everyone there. And the biggest thing I had people do is I really had to make sure the people that were suffering were taken care of, that we got them the information they needed. And when we go through this kind of pain, if you just sit and experience the pain, you will have no faith in the future. What you have to do is take action. Ultimately, faith without works is dead, as it says in the Bible. So what action can we take? And so we all looked at anything we could do. We raised money. We did a blood drive. We made sure that every person there was emotionally supported, lost one. We got people who were all upset and emotional who hadn't lost anyone personally to get out of their own pity party and to spend their energy in an act of faith to support people who needed their help, those who were truly suffering. So it was a very powerful session, and the emotion and turnaround there was extraordinary. But part of what I said to everybody there is, here's what we have to do. Step one of leadership is really being able to see it as it is. I've never taught people this philosophy of, go to your garden and say, there's no weeds, and do a bunch of affirmations. There's weeds there, and if you don't see them, they're going to take your garden. But I also don't teach people to go live your life where you stick your head in the ground and say, oh my God, it's over. Because this happens, life will never be the same. Whenever I hear that, I get angry. Tomorrow will never be the same as today. That's human nature. Challenges will always be here with us. Now, if it's never the same for better reasons, life will never be the same because we're going to be more caring, more committed, more strong. We're not just going to protect our own country. We're going to see how we interact with others. We're going to look at consequences. We're going to value our families more. Hey, if life's never the same on a positive side, hey, I believe in that. But when people start to make it worse than it is, all they're looking for is an excuse not to put themselves on the line. So many people say, oh yeah, my business is suffering because of 911. No. Businesses suffer all the time. Our job is to figure out, no matter what the environment is, to make sure we serve our community, that we take care of our families, our friends, our customers, the people around us. So lesson one in faith and leadership is see it as it is, but don't make it worse than it is. Don't create an excuse. Lesson two is really simple. Now that you see it how it really is, you got to see it better than it is, because otherwise, why would you take any action? Again, every religion on the planet agrees only on one power on this earth. And what is that power? It's the power of the F word, faith. They all agree on that. They disagree on the name of God, how God should be honored. They'll kill each other over it very often, but they agree on faith because it's the ultimate power. We all know it. Faith is seeing it better than it is. If you only see things how they are today, there can be no human progress. Leaders always see it better than it is. They come up with a vision for how they want it to be. And that's what you got to do with your life today. See, how is your life today really? No BS, because that can give you some drive, but don't make it worse than it is. And then sit down and say, okay, how do I want it to be? What's my ultimate vision? What could that create for myself, my family, my friends, my community, the world that I want to serve and contribute to? What meaning could be my life if that was my vision? And then the third step is make it the way you see it. And the only way to do that is to have enough faith to take massive what? Action. Massive action is the cure-all. And you know what? The more you take action, the more faith you're going to have. It's like people always say, it's amazing how lucky I get when I work this hard. You know, when you're out doing so much, things happen. You stir it up. Listen, if you want a response, if you want results, you got to be a stimulus. You got to do a lot of stimulus if you want a lot of response. Nature has an interesting theory. If you look at the formula of nature, it's massive action. How many seeds have to be planted for one tree to grow? Hundreds, sometimes thousands, before one makes it? How many sperm have to be released for one egg to make it happen? For God's sake, some family's been trying for a long time. They'll tell you. Nature requires massive action. And if you want the nature of joy, the nature of results, the nature of an extraordinary life, you must take massive action. Now, what would keep you from doing that? Doing the opposite of these three. Seeing it worse than it is. Being in a position where you're constantly talking about how bad it is. Carrying on the conversation of the past. Let me tell you something. Every enlightened master knows one thing. The past is over and the future may never be. The only place that exists is right here and now. That's where all the power is. Why would you spend your time on something that no longer exists? Why would you spend your time on something that isn't even here and may never be? Live in the present fully, focused on what you can do with this day, and it's amazing what can happen. But if you're focused on how horrible it is and you carry on a conversation and then you think about how much worse it could get, that's the second step to having no faith and doing nothing. And then finally, if you sit around and share that with others and maybe make sure you feel good in the moment by eating something or drinking something or smoking something or distracting yourself with something, you'll wake up one day and say, where'd my life go? Now, I know this is not you. So you do the opposite right now. Right now, where are you right now in your life? If you looked at your life and you're happy or unhappy, there's areas you're thrilled with. Congratulations. What faith made that possible? I know in my own life, the area of my life that matters most to me, you know, frankly, I love my contribution. I love what I get to do. I feel so grateful to God to be able to have a conversation like we're having right now, because I don't know you personally. And yet, hopefully this conversation that you picked out, I mean, you picked this up, was guided, and you're going to be stimulated to use more of who you are. And you're going to contribute that in a way that gives you joy in your life, which will make me thrilled. And also, if you're happy and joyful, I know it's going to affect the people around you. But for me to have that privilege is amazing. But the greatest privilege in my life, honestly, is my wife. The faith that it took for me to make the changes in my life, which seemed so horrible. They required pain. You know, often to get where you really need to be, you got to go through some pain. And the hardest pain is when you think what you're going to do is create pain for others. But the ultimate joy in my life has come from my wife. I mean, my sage, you know, that's her name is a great definition for what she is in my life. She's the pure love of my life. But the faith that she's had in her life for she and I to get together, the faith I had to have, was just enormous. You know, if you're going to walk across the room to somebody you're even interested in, it takes some faith that, you know, you can handle, quote unquote, they're not wanting to be with you or rejecting you. But the real faith comes in relationships, isn't it? It's the faith that allows you, no matter how tough times are, to stick together. It's the faith that allows you to believe in each other. The faith that allows you to get through the tough times that everybody goes through. And that faith is rewarded with the greatest gift called love. I'm not talking about love like on the surface where people say, oh yeah, I love you. Yeah, come here, I love you, little buddy. You know, not that kind of love. And not love that's temporary. I mean that unconditional love that sticks with you for a lifetime. That love that gives you that vibrancy in life. That love that reaches you deep inside yourself, that love that connects you to God. Love is only possible when you have faith in yourself, when you have faith in God, and when you have faith in those you love. So as you look at your life, I don't care if it's your relationship with your spouse, loved ones, kids, I don't care if it's your career or your job, I don't care if it's your body, your spiritual beliefs, look at your life, wherever it's great, what faith made that possible? And what's not great, see it as it really is. Don't make it worse than it is, and write it down. How is it really in your life? Secondly, how can it be? What's your vision? And thirdly, what action are you going to take immediately to change it? If you take those three steps, everything will change. I mean, if I could take this whole tape and put it into one phrase, it's take the leap of faith. Because it's a leap. See, if there was a bridge there, you know, it wouldn't take any faith. It's the leap that is where the power is. And so few people will make the leap. And that's why so few people ever have what they want. The promised land that every great leader's talked about, whether it be Martin Luther King or any leader, religious leader, spiritual leader, business leader, the promised land can only be reached by a leap of faith. It won't be reached by a conversation. It won't be reached by planning. It'll be reached by doing everything you can do physically and then taking the leap. And that's what this tape has been about. So take the leap of faith in every area of your life. When you find yourself being stopped, say, have I done everything I can do? Figure everything I figure out. Is the upside large enough? Is this worth taking the leap? If I take the leap, does this have the chance to transform me spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially? Is this something that if I did it, it would make me a better person or would contribute to people I care about on a larger level? Then it's time to take the leap. Don't hesitate, by the way, when you go take the leap or you'll fall. Nothing worse than saying, I'm going to take a leap up and pull him back. Just commit and go. Burn the boats as you enter the island and you will take the island, I promise you. That's the ultimate act of faith. Another thing that can help you with your faith is to sit down and spend time with someone who's lived a lot more life than you have. Someone who's been through the wars, through the decades. Because you know what? They have a perspective that's different. They allow you to look at life differently. You can certainly do it by studying history. That's one of my favorite things to do because it puts things in perspective. But there's nothing like a living history. Someone who can share with you the things they went through and you go, my God, you went through all that? Yes, and it all worked out fine. Those are references that can remind you how important faith is. I can also tell you a belief that's really helped me in my life. You know, so often when things are going so poorly and you feel like, oh, this is never going to work out. And because you've given your all, you think. Whenever you've given your all, you haven't given your all. There's always more. You just don't want to give it. You don't think it's there, but it's there. And life is just challenging you to bring it forth. But I remember early in my career, I felt like I'd given my all and I had disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. Nothing's working out. Everybody's telling me to quit. And I was getting to that point where I thought, my God, is this ever going to work? And I met this very, very extraordinary man by the name of Jim Rohn. And I remember one time having this conversation with him and he looked at me and he said, Tony, just trust. Just have faith. Trust in God. Trust in yourself. Trust your fellow man. He said, you're doing everything right. It's going to come together. And then he said something in a tone of voice I'll never forget. He said, somebody told me this many years ago, and he said, I never forgot, and he said, I want you to remember this as long as you live, Tony. He said, Tony, as bad as it looks, and I know it looks terrible, just remember this, your gifts will make room for you. He said, your gifts will make room for you. He said, Tony, you have some gifts. He said, if you just keep giving them and stop worrying about when the return will come, you're getting the return right now. It's in the form of muscle. You just don't see it yet. And that muscle is going to lead to even greater action, and that greater action is going to lead to a world transformed. That thought pattern stuck in my head. Whenever it was tough, I said, all right, okay, my gifts are going to make room for me. I know they're there. Keep on giving, and I know it's going to come together at some point. Doesn't look like it, but it's going to. But also it ties into another belief that I think is critical for your life, and that is you got to live with an attitude of expectancy. That's real faith. See, I live with the belief that at any moment in time, something could happen that could change my whole life. I could meet a person. I could make a distinction. I could read a book. I could get a chapter. I could get an idea. Something could turn around my business, change my perspective, change the way I feel, help me impact my kids more. Something could change the world. At any moment, that could happen. And if you live with that expectancy, not a hope, but a positive expectancy, do you know what I'm talking about? You know how it feels like in your body when you have this positive expectancy, like you know something great's about to happen. You don't even know why. You just know what's about to happen. That is faith in action. That's the way you want to live your life. And that is nothing but a habit. If you get yourself in that place, everything will change. So I've talked enough about this subject. Let's get you to put faith into action. Let's take this faith and make it work. So here's your assignment. And by the way, you may have created your own assignments. If you want to say, Tony, I don't like your assignment. I want to make up my own. Good for you. As long as you take action and as long as you really do it, then I'm fine. Here's what I want you to do. I'm going to give you two things that are quite simple to do. The first one is employ your faith. The way I want you to do that is I want you to get a piece of paper, or better yet, if you have a journal, use a journal. And I want you to sit down and describe to yourself what your life is really like right now. Remember those three steps? See as it is, see it better than it is, make it that way. I want you to do that with your journal. See your life as it really is right now, emotionally, socially, spiritually. Do some writing. Do a couple of pages. Describe what your life is really like. And then take two or three pages and describe how do you really want it to be. By the way, when you describe how your life is, don't make it better than it is and don't make it worse than it is. Get to as much clarity and honesty as you can, because you can't change something if you're not honest with yourself. Then again, in step two, describe how do you really want it to be. You know, what's your vision? What would excite you? What have to happen for things to be at that level for you? Start to live that vision. And then step three, I want you to commit three acts of faith during the next 7 to 10 days. What are three acts of faith? At least the next 30 days, if you need more time for it. If the acts are really huge, 30 days is the outside. But one of them should be today. What are three acts of faith that normally you wouldn't do because you're afraid? Things that you'd be pulled back from, or you're afraid of what people think, or would it work out? If you take action with absolute faith, you may not see the reward instantly, but there will be an instant reward, and that is the building of your faith muscles, which will get you to where you want to go. Even if this situation doesn't work out, have faith that you'll find a way to use it to your advantage. Remember, utilization is the ultimate power, but you can't use things unless you have faith you can find the way. Often when I get up to speak, I'm not sure what I'm going to say. And my brain starts to go, I don't know what to say. My belief is, when I don't know what to say, that's when I know what to say. And I make myself just step forward, make a gesture and say, now this is the most important point. And wham, suddenly the important point shows up. So that's the power of acting on it. And by the way, maybe an act of faith for you would be something simple, like taking a singing class or putting yourself on the line. Or maybe it's a fear about following up on that ticket you've not paid for, or making it to court, or paying your taxes, or approaching that man or woman you really are attracted to, or asking for the raise, or saying, I quit and I'm starting my own business. Now, again, I get a plan together before I did this. That's part of the intelligence of this. But what action are you going to take? Three of them, three acts of faith that truly require faith that you're going to take in the next 7 to 10 days, maximum within the next 30 days. And by the way, they're not acts of faith if you're already certain you can deal with it. Right? That's not faith, that's belief. Create a sense of certainty inside yourself and see what an investment of faith can bring back to your life in the next 30 days. And then I'd love to hear from you. Email me, write me a letter. Let me know what's happened, what miracles you've really created in your life. All right, so what has this session been about? Maximizing your resources. Getting all the juice out of your life, not settling for less than you can be by using the ultimate resource, the F word, faith. Embrace it, love it, enjoy it, give thanks for it. And ultimately, there is a faith that we all know is the deepest and the highest, and that is that we are guided. Please, whatever your faith, whatever your religious or spiritual faith may be, I'm not here to tell you what to believe. I'm just saying, please practice it. Because if you don't practice what you believe, you will never feel totally whole. And no matter how much success you have, there'll be an emptiness. If you practice it daily, it becomes more a part of your life, and everything in your life will be animated by that spirit, by that energy, by that joy. I invite you as a friend to look deep inside yourself and take some time for that silence where you can begin to hear the whispers of destiny, where you can connect to what's most important, and where you can find the internal strength that's always in everybody's heart that'll move you forward to the next level. I hope this session has been valuable for you, and I look forward to visiting with you on the next Power Talk. Till then, I trust you'll take massive action and you'll continue to live with passion. God bless.